Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It's a minute past the hour on this, the 23rd day of December 2015. The night before Christmas, as it were. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. It's where we're live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday through Friday. Well, but not this Friday because that's Christmas night and... Well, hell, you wouldn't be here anyway, and I'd just be talking to the... I'd be talking in, just howling into a series of tubes. You know, it's not a big truck. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is a little community that's been 10 years plus in the building. And, well, if you'd like to be part of the real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, you're welcome to jump right in. Good evening. We've had a promotion. Is it a promotion? I think it's a promotion. Yes. We now have a Horn chat room moderator, Tim from L.A., in the room. Congratulations on the promotion, Tim. And also, of course, being capably mentored along by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky. Good evening, Mighty Mouse, and good evening to those who will be wandering in at their leisure. Now, Tim's saying the promotion is just for today. Just today. Well, suit yourself, Tim, and with all the happiness that attends this holiday season, may I say to you, Calliope. Yes. Good. So it's not just the night before Christmas. It's Wednesday. Yes. And you know what that means, and we will get to it in short order. I should mention, because I always have to mention, otherwise this program would not be on the air for very long if I didn't mention, that we try to raise $200 every evening for the next. We've been trying to raise $260 tonight and tomorrow night, so as to not have a gap from my absence, your absence for that matter, on Christmas night. So, good news. We only need to raise half of that, at least in theory. Thanks to a kind anonymous offer, there are $130 in matching funds sitting on the table as we speak. And so your 5 will become 10, your 10, 20, your 20, 40, your 50, 100, your 65, 130, and your 130 would become... 260 and take care of fundraising for the evening, however you prefer to do it, and whatever seems best to you. Okay, so there it is, a matching challenge on the table that will make reaching the evening's goal considerably simpler. Okie dokie. I already said my name, Tim. What is your name? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Still, again, even. And we will get right to the business of prayer meeting Wednesday. We really will, I promise. But I wanted to share something with you from last night. We had a magnificent, that's what makes all of this so much of a pleasure, the delight that I take and the rest of the community takes in free-form conversation in depth, and we had one of those last night. With our buddy the Angry Indian. And that in turn prompted a response equally thought-provoking from our good friend Philip, who says, I'm afraid I disagree with Angry's perspective on this issue. I love mail like this. I mean, thoughtful, thought-provoking. It's largely unlike anything you're likely to get anywhere else. I'm afraid, Philip says, I disagree with Angry's perspective on this one. In my opinion, until the neighboring countries contribute mightily to fighting the threat to their governments and stop funding proxy extremist factions to represent their interests while relying on us to expend monies and resources to fight ISIL and be the dumb fall guys yet again when everything goes wrong, why should we involve ourselves in what is essentially a civil war? 13 years or so of our aid and fighting in the region has only destabilized and created power vacuums. there was a bone in my ear. Iran and Saudi Arabia have been doggedly competing to fill. Rhetorically, Philip says, I'll ask, haven't we done enough damage by our uninformed interventions, and please spare me any talk if we can get it right? We lack sufficient knowledge of the languages, cultures, and history of the participants to get anything right there. Frankly, I'm weary of presidential candidates who haven't served in combat, baying like dogs of war for no-fly zones, carpet bombing that would kill untold numbers of civilians, and commitment of ground troops to others' civil wars. Some even cavalierly discuss World War III in between campaign-funded donuts. 12 years, countless American, Iraqi, and Syrian deaths, including civilians, and billions of dollars expended or simply disappeared. I think it crawls up over the trillion mark, Philip. And these armchair warriors channeling the spirit of General Curtis LeMay. Oh, you don't. It ain't every radio program where you get a Curtis LeMay reference either. Argue that we haven't done enough before they prepare to celebrate the Prince of Peace's birthday in relative comfort without any sense of irony or shame. Where have all the flowers gone? I'm equally disheartened by progressives who recycle the bloodbath scenario articulated during the Vietnam era as if what has been happening isn't an immoral, endless bloodbath enhanced by Western, Turkish, and Russian weapons sales and surrogate armies. How easy is it to call ISIL a radical Islamic jihadist force and ignore the number of secular Iraqi Sunnis and former military who both form major constituencies and still have wonderful memories of Paul Bremer depriving them of occupation and status and concomitantly self-respect in their allegedly liberated and occupied country? ISIL is already a de facto government rather than just a military force in the region. The grim and tragic reality is that, like ISIL, despotic Middle Eastern governments supported by the West and Wahhabists, who wrongfully claim they are acting according to the dictates and surahs of the Quran, are killing countless Muslims for simply not agreeing with their politics or religious views. Frankly, I have a really hard time distinguishing between what the Western-supported Saudi royal family and ISIL have respectively done to oppress and murder Muslims living under their alleged governance. We support one while decrying the other, and to me they're both extremist regimes that are destabilizing the region. I didn't hear one Democrat address that glaring contradiction in the campaign speech conference erroneously called a debate last Saturday. We talk about a first woman president, but if we're talking about Hillary Clinton, we're mistaken. She had the biggest brass balls on the stage when she talked about the success of her policy in Libya. Moreover, as I consider the records of Golda Meir, Margaret Thatcher, and Indira Gandhi, among other female leaders of governments, I question anyone that believes that a change in the gender of a president will have a major ramification for our policies. Still, I'll concede that Clinton is the best moderate Republican running this year, but that may be because she's the only one. Even Bernie Sanders droned on about the besieged middle class without mentioning in any meaningful way the poor and working class Americans. Apparently, I should welcome the shifting of class bias in policies from the wealthy to the middle class and not worry about the poor of our cities, Appalachia, and other rural communities, and whether they have representation. We don't. Sanders even included the overthrow of democratically elected governments in Chile and Iran, when summarizing the failed efforts of the United States to oust authoritarian and oppressive governments, as if the lessons were not to intervene because of unpredictable outcomes, rather than, in those two cases, not to depose democratically elected governments opposing U.S. policies in order to retain control over their own resources and governments. Bernie, I hardly knew you. As for ISIL, I'm more concerned about the fascism, bigotry, and intolerance on the rise here. As an Irish-American raised in Boston, I don't recall anyone asking us to denounce the IRA when it terrorized London and other British cities. Although Boston was a Republican stronghold and organizations like Northern Aid covertly supported the IRA, I don't recall anyone monitoring all of us in our churches or organizations or calling for the deportation of undocumented Irish who worked in so many restaurants, pubs, and construction jobs in Boston at that time. Instead, I recall prominent Irish-American politicians from Massachusetts and New York calling for raising the immigration quota for Irish. Of course, the undocumented Irish looked like us. Moreover, I don't recall the British reacting against IRA terrorism by prohibiting Irish immigrants until they were able to sort it out. I don't recall many raising an outcry about Reagan's covert weapons sales to Ayatollah Khomeini's Iran less than 5 years after American embassy workers were held hostage and Khomeini denounced the United States as the Great Satan and called for death to the United States. I don't recall many raising an outcry about the U.S. government's support of jihadists in Afghanistan and its proxy war against the Soviet Union. I don't recall many questioning why we still give so much foreign aid to Egypt and consider Saudi Arabia a staunch ally when the majority of September 11th hijackers came from both countries. For that matter, I don't recall many questioning why we consider to be a good ally Saudi Arabia, a radical Wahhabist regime that has exported its extremist theology and distorted Islamic beliefs for decades, regularly beheaded members of its population, prohibiting infidels from visiting Mecca and Medina, and has members of its royal family who supported Al-Qaeda in 2001 and support ISIL and other jihadist factions today. Please, can someone articulate for me the difference between Saudi Arabia and the ISIL caliphate, especially given Saudi Arabia's destruction in Yemen, achieved in part with U.S.-provided munitions, and its support of extremist Islamists in Syria. And just to try to answer that question real quickly for Philip, I can't. I guess the difference is the fact that it's entirely semantic, I suppose. We like the Saudi extremists who have a lot of oil, and we don't like the ISIL extremists who have not yet consolidated their grip on Iraq's oil. We will like them real good once they've done that. We'll find a way to live together in peace and harmony and headlopping, and you get the idea. Philip continues, I don't recall many contemporaries holding the majority of European Christians in Nazi and occupied Europe morally responsible for silently watching their Jewish neighbors be subjected to discrimination, deportation, and then genocide. Even now, some say that we can't blame everyone who watched and said nothing. So I would ask the Republican candidates, if we are willing to hold all Muslims accountable and expect them to cry out about ISIL, why do we excuse or understand Europeans who didn't speak out or act? And just whom do we hold responsible for the silence during the century of Christian terrorism practiced in the north and south of this country against African Americans, Catholics, and Jews by the Ku Klux Klan, often with the approval of local, state, and federal law enforcement? I told you this was a dandy. We fear the other, those who have different religious beliefs, ethnicity, and race, and make unwarranted generalizations based on fear. Yet all gun owners would raise a huge outcry if we generalized that, given the number of mass murderers in this country, we should bar all gun owners from holding guns or restrict their rights in any way, such as by revising the Second Amendment or even requiring more stringent registration laws. Rambling aside, here's the main point. I recall in the 1980s asking a friend why we were opposed to the rise of a radical Islamist state in Iran, yet wholeheartedly supported the jihadists in Afghanistan. Even now, we support in Egypt a military coup that overthrew a democratically elected government, slew thousands of citizens, and has oppressed human and civil rights and freedom of the press and speech. Yet, were any of those citizens to strike out at the United States because of U.S. government support and weapons sales, we would feign lack of comprehension, because after all, we are only a benevolent force in the world, or so all too many Americans believe. Until we can resolve the glaring contradictions in our policy and our support of several of the worst governments in the region, including Egypt's junta and the Saudis, we have no credibility as a problem solver in that region and no hope of wondering why Arab youth feel so alienated at home and in the West. We've had more than 12 years of military involvement in the Middle East with miserable results. ISIL has filled the vacuum created in Iraq by the disreputable war against a secular leader and the support of his eventual successor, Malaki, despite his discriminatory policies and misgovernance. I recall that the former vice president of a U.S. government that supported and sold weaponry Saddam Hussein in his war against Iran denounced him as equivalent to Hitler less than a decade later and cited the same horrific acts he committed against his people while we supported him. I don't think I need to expound on the issues further other than to note that his son's handling of the Mideast was even worse. People without hope or power to turn turn to terrorism because it is effective. Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin, Yitzhak Shamir, Eamon de Valera, Jerry Adams, Malcolm McGuinness, Ian Paisley, Nelson Mandela. The list of those denounced as terrorists who became members of governments and whom we subsequently recognized as political leaders is longer than I can describe here. The Contras in Nicaragua were terrorists whom we supported, and Pinochet overthrew a democratically elected government in Chile and committed atrocities against Chileans while avidly supported by the U.S. government. The United States and Britain overthrew a democratically elected government in Iran and installed the Shah because the Iranians and their prime minister wanted to control their own oil resources. Of course, I loathe ISIL. But until we address the bases for their appeal to so many and our own responsibility for worsening the situation through our myopic foreign policy, we are throwing away our money and the lives of our young who serve. I haven't heard anyone espousing sending Syrian refugees to reside in the countries of our allies, Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, and I don't have to wonder why. And I will simply add editorially to that comment, you hear constantly that Ms. Malik, San Bernardino massacre, she's always referred to as being Pakistani. And it is almost never mentioned that she became radicalized in Saudi Arabia. That's where Mr. San Bernardino massacre went to get his mail order bride. Philip continues, I am not isolationist, but until we sort out what outcomes we want to achieve in the region and have some consistency in our policies there, I don't support any engagement that enables the Saudis, Turks, Russians, Qatar, and other countries to continue to fund their proxies and wreak further havoc. We have too often added to the problem, and no amount of scaremongering about ISIL's beheadings and intolerant fundamentalism while remaining silent about Saudi Arabia's will persuade me otherwise. I can't justify policies that end up killing thousands more civilians in some case, as some cite the possibility of a bloodbath resulting from our limited engagement as a threat to persuade those of us who disagree. I recall too vividly that mantra being recited when we were in Vietnam and illegally in Cambodia and Laos. If Syria and Iraq haven't already been bloodbaths with tragic consequences on their citizens, then please color me stupid. Our confused and contradictory policies in the Middle East and our support of brutally repressive regimes in Arab countries should hold no consequences, right? So in the spirit of fear-mongering and reactionaryism to so rampant now, what should we do about Christians opposed to abortion, given the number of bombings of abortion providers and slayings of doctors who provide legal abortions? Ban them all until we can sort it out? No, let's continue to watch Fox News and support the restrictions and of other rights until those restrictions affect us. Then we can talk about an oppressive government that deprives us of our freedoms and scratch our heads as to how it all happened and blame those who don't agree with us. Sorry for rambling. Don't apologize, Philip. This is a dandy. But I was trying to submit it all in time by the end of the program. By the way, like you, Philip says, I really did watch the campaign speeches the other night. All I can say is that I am sad and angry that I wasted my time. Were it not for the coming nomination of Supreme Court justices by the next president, I'd sit this one out in protest because I'm weary of the probable Democratic nominee's hawkishness and inability to acknowledge that she has ever made serious mistakes. 20-something years ago, I saw Clinton Part 1 and loathed the possibility of a sequel with a new, equally disingenuous leading character. As an example of her mendacity, she had the audacity to state that had Obama backed the moderate forces, she, as Secretary of State, wanted to back in Syria, we wouldn't be facing the threat of ISIL. Yet neither Sanders nor O'Malley asked, what moderate forces, or when don't you see armed conflict as a solution for geopolitical issues? Yeah. Philip says, I shouldn't get this riled up before we observe the holiest day of capitalism in our calendar year and persuade ourselves that competitively spending money rather than attention on our children will be directly translated into garnering their love. Still, in the spirit of the one whose message has been so egregiously distorted since his departure 2,000-odd years ago, have the best of holidays. Do send me the bill. Writing these missives is medically beneficial because it prevents my head from blowing up. Best of holidays to Agnes, the family, and the whole Horn family, commune, congregation. Be well. Signed, Philip. You know, that should probably be published in a newspaper somewhere. Absolutely. Brilliant, Philip. And I don't know that you were disagreeing with Angry so much. I think we're all pretty much on the same page on this. Or at least I'm guessing. Under the subject line, Just Sayin', Ron in Raleigh has a note. Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war. Just sayin'.
Just sayin', not sayin', just sayin'.
We need to declare victory, about face, and get the fuck out of town. I suggest everyone read Blowback by Stephen Kinzer. Robert in Australia says, well, it's Christmas Eve here in Sydney, Australia. It's a pleasant 73 degrees Fahrenheit, overcast and raining off and on. And now the sun's come out. And you know what? That's interesting because it's very nearly a pleasant 73 degrees in Fahrenheit, or was until the sun went down, and raining here in Appalachistan. Go figure. You guys were supposed to be, this is the third day of summer for you, second day of winter for us, and damned if we don't have the same weather. Thank God climate change is the giant hoax, 100-year hoax, as a matter of fact, the conspiracy. You know, maybe it's the learned elders of Zion and the Illuminati and the Bohemian Grove people. Who knows? Robert continues, I've just sent $50 Australian, which, thanks to the exchange rate, means you should receive around $35. I'll never understand exchange rates. Well, that's because you're not a dyed-in-the-wool capitalist. So if any other listeners would like to chip in any amount to give you a bill-free Christmas, I'd appreciate it, and I send them my thanks. Or as we say in Strine, get on, you mites. Happy summer-winter solstice. Signed, Robert. So that's cool. That's $35 of... That's $35 of the $130 that are on the table matched. That means we've got $95 to go, and we're done with fundraising for the evening. Yay! Mm-hmm. Let's see. Now, as noted previously, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. I'm looking at a screen capture here that... Queen of the Minions, Carol Baker, just sent me. It's a screen cap from Facebook, and where and how Carol finds these people, I will never know. I'm just glad I don't have the secret. Over on Facebook, some wingnut, some prayer meeting Wednesday types, and rotation in the clouds over Trenton, Tennessee. Yes, I am praying with my hand on the Bible. If I were an atheist, I would be converting tonight. I like my chances much better with God than without him. And Carol, who cannot leave a good wingnut alone, said, who do you think caused the rotation in the clouds? To which our evangelical responded, not blaming God if that is the inference. No offense. This is not the time for second-guessing him or her. Bless her heart. You ever seen a mouse in a snake's cage? and how the snake will just kind of sit there and look at him for a while the, play with the mouse a little bit. Carol says, I just figured if God made everything, it seems strange to ask him to stop what they clearly want you to have. Not second guessing, just asking.
Not saying, just saying.
God makes them tornadoes. And yes, tornadoes are breaking out from Illinois to Tennessee. Social media is asking for prayers. Given how they vote, I can afford to send fake prayers. Money? The climate deniers are on their own. Maybe they can pray for politicians who recognize climate change. Hey, that'd be nice. Oh, and I'm not surprised stuff like that's breaking out because it's been right breezy today here in Appalachistan. Ferg and I went across the New River Gorge Bridge earlier, which I might remind you is 876 feet above the New River, and it got right gusty. You know, you got your hands on the steering wheel and you're plowing straight ahead. And the next thing you know, you're halfway over into the next lane without ever having moved the steering wheel. It can be quite exciting. But it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. It is 26 minutes past the hour. And since Robert has gotten us started, well, we'll cut right to the chase. I mean, it was a lovely dinner down there in the fellowship hall. The little old blue haired ladies, they really do move into the it's a kind of a Christian Zen space they move into this time of year. I mean, merciful heavens, they're all kinds of cookies and fudge and it's the same thing that makes a salmon swim upstream, expending all that energy. The little old blue-haired ladies in the fellowship hall are drawn to making delightful things this time of year. Oh my goodness gracious, they are. The potato salad was just magnificent. And this being the Wednesday before Christmas, we had Christmas dinner. We had turkey there. You know, we got a smoker out back of the fellowship hall, and oh my gracious sakes, alive, golden skinned with all that hickory smoky goodness, and just tender and moist and delicious. Oh, and the sweet potato croquettes, a big one of them jumbo marshmallows wrapped around with sweet potato and pineapple and ground up pecans in it and dipped in butter and rolled in crushed cornflakes and then baked with a layer of marshmallows on top of it. Yes indeed. And that walnut celery cranberry congealed salad with the cottage cheese folded in. It don't sound like much, but my heavenly days, it was wonderful. And we just about had to use the Hoyer lift to get the deacons up out of the basement and up out into the parking lot so they could smoke with the sinners. But we got them there. And it being Christmas, we left a few sticks of celery out for the little ones. Not the reindeer, but for the little ones. They still ain't getting dessert. They got to grow up and be deacons on their own if they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. But they had their postprandial cigarettes, the deacons did. And we've herded them in from the parking lot, through the vestibule, down past that bowl of 20-year-old desiccated butter mints, and they're waiting. They're standing there now with their heavy brass plates about to pass them through the congregation, the Foreign Family Commune congregation, as we bring the minister of music forward, brethren and sistren. Bring the minister of music forward for our offertory hymn. Just press that little PayPal button down in the bottom of the plate. Of course, there's also a card in there with the mailing address. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV25801. And remember, there is $95 of matching tithes. Your tithe will be doubled up to the next $95 as the plate comes by with ever head bowed and ever eye closed. Amen and amen. Brother Minister of Music, if you would come forward, please, and lead us in the offertory.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mersey doats and dozy doats and little lambsy divy, a kiddly divy too. Oh, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Oh, amen, hallelujah. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, and I'm telling you, brethren and sistren, to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and get out into the middle of the center aisle and come on down that blood red aisle and fall. How glory upon your knees, laying your hands upon the subwoofer at the altar so as to feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you. I am Archpope Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Antagonized Agnostic Animated Animist, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid, and this here is the Cathedral of Common Sense. This here is how glory prayer meeting Wednesday, with heroic tales of godliness and faith to carry us through this most joyous, amen, hallelujah, of seasons. Ha, glory, yes indeed, amen. Praise His holy name, amen and amen. I got a message for you. I got a message for you, I do, from the this comes from Brother Deacon Gerald. Brother Bob, the deacon of the building and grounds, has asked that whoever is spitting the sunflower seed shells in the men's restroom urinal, please stop it. They're stopping up the plumbing. Thank you, and God richly bless your life. Amen, amen. And I'm proud to announce that Yes, we went from $95 to $85.69, $85.69, thanks to that very Deacon Gerald himself. And from $85.69, well, looky here, $85.69, oh dear, I think we're in algebra now. It's going to be complicated. So we got your 85 and your 69 and your minus. Thank you, Brother Reinhard. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessings. Thank you, Brother Reinhard. We are $14.30.
$14.30 above that $130 we needed to raise. Amen. Hallelujah. That means we got to start. We got to start on tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Reinhardt, and thank you, Deacon Gerald. Brother Reinhardt saying, couldn't resist a calculator siphon. Merry Christmas and all the other things. What makes you, it makes you feel good. Peace. And peace be with you as well, Brother Reinhardt. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sistren. And like I said, we have heroic tales of faith in action for ye. We do. Glory. You know, from time to time, we are reminded what a challenge it is for men of the gospel calling, men who have had the anointing hands of faith laid upon them to cause them to go out into the world and do as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ commanded and minister to them what is in prison. We are reminded. We are reminded, but brethren and sistren, well, it isn't easy. It can be a lonely, lonely, lonely calling, a lonesome ministry, surrounded there by mother stabbers and father rapers. Yes, yes, amen. Well, so it is with Brother Kenneth D. Witt. Brother Kenneth D. Witt was a prison chaplain in Arkansas. Every day, day in and day out, he reached out with the loving grace, the salvation teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he reached out to at least 50 people there in the prison. He's a disciple of Bill Gothard, Kenneth D. Witt is, the Reverend Kenneth D. Witt, Chaplain Kenneth D. Witt. He's a disciple of Bill Gothard. Now, Bill Gothard, you may recall, is the founder of the Institute of Basic Life Principles. He was until he resigned after folks began coming forward and saying things like, Brother Gothard was wanting to have sexy time with me when I was 12 years old, that kind of thing. Gothard is also the preferred gospel minister of the Duggar family. You remember the Duggar family, don't you? Josh Duggar, who shall we say sinned against his own sister in a carnal knowledge kind of way. Well. And Pastor Brother Governor Diabetes Snake Oil Cure Salesman Presidential Candidate Mike Huxterby, he's also a disciple of Bill Gothard. Huxterby once said, as a person who has actually been through the basic seminar, I am confident that these are some of the best programs available for instilling character into the lives of people. And so he went, and Brother DeWitt went out into the world and founded the Principles and Applications for Life program. Well, Brother DeWitt was doing his best to provide them principles for life. And like I said, he done it 50 times that we allegedly know of, because that's how many counts there was in the indictment. Yep.
there are 50 counts that could lead to him spending, and go figure the legislature of the state of Arkansas, they at least they have their priorities straight, on 50 counts, he faces a maximum prison term of 10 years on 50 counts. I don't think I'm up to the gazettas for figuring out how many, how much time that is per count, but I mean, if it would be 50, so it's a fifth of a year. Wow. Mm-hmm. A former inmate who later worked for Brother DeWitt said she started to have a relationship with the chaplain after she was paroled. And that's, again, the law. Five women, three inmates came forward to report that he had sexually assaulted them. Yeah. The McPherson unit in Newport, the prison there, is under investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice on what they call an unrelated sexual abuse and harassment claim. But yes, this upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing man of God was charged with 50 counts of third-degree sexual assault. For his efforts to minister his way into the or to minister three women out of their prison garb. The way the news story, the way the Daily Beast describes it, is pressuring three inmates at a women's state prison into providing him with sexual favors. Because, brethren and sistren, chaplains have needs, too. Those long and lonely days of ministering to women who have found themselves in the clutches of the long arm of the law, and they need counseled, and they need prayed with and prayed over, and apparently prayed on. So, well, by the way, the whole thing is that those Gothard teachings, part of which include telling women who were raped that it was their fault for making the man want to get all rapey, those are a staple inside the prison system in Arkansas. Yes, the loving, saving grace of Christ Jesus is everywhere to be found in Arkansas, especially in little dark corners where nobody's watching the chaplain as he tries to, praying on him, right? So we got that. I told you, heroic tales of faith. Heroic tales of faith. I mentioned Mike Huckstery a minute ago. Mike is right pissed off now. You know who he's mad at? Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. Well, he and I don't understand in the first place why it is that he would go to a place like Manhattan, because I don't think it means Manhattan, Kansas. Apparently, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz went to the very bowels of Sodom itself and Gomorrah, because he done went to Manhattan on a fundraising tour. New York's a big city, so I suppose there's two or three people there who would be willing to give Ted Cruz money. And in response to a question about gay marriage, whilst he was in Manhattan, Rafaelito Cruz told a potential donor that opposing gay marriage wouldn't be a big deal in the Cruz administration. I don't believe that in the least, but, you know, you say what you gotta, especially when you're a Christian, you say what you gotta say in order to get well, a Christian and a politician. You say what you got to say in order to advance your boundless, limitless, avaricious, rapacious ambitions, especially if you're somebody like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. Mm-hmm. Cruz is, of course, being a complete hypocrite because he's been hooting and hollering about gay marriage to anybody who would listen. Well, pastor, brother, governor, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, presidential candidate Mike Huckabee got wind of it, and he reached into his jacket pocket and pulled out his phone and began a tweeting for all he was worth. Should conservatives support a corporately funded candidate that says one thing at a Manhattan fundraiser and another at a Marshalltown church? Ooh, nice Iowa reference there. Marshalltown, Iowa. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't candidates be expected to have authenticity and consistency instead of looking at a map to decide what to believe and what to say? Whether you agree with him, one reason I respect Trump, he doesn't pretend with his principles or change his message depending on location, audience. No, he's just nasty all the time. And then finally, if marriage and sanctity of life are truly issues of principle, not politics, there shouldn't be a geographical boundary to what's right and what's wrong. Ah, you got to give it to Pastor, Brother, Governor, Diabetes, Snake Oil Cure Salesman, Presidential Candidate Mike Huckabee. He doesn't even have, I don't think he registers even 1%. But by God, he hasn't given up yet. We've now, granted, we've lost Lindsey Graham from the presidential contest. And I hear that he is absolutely inconsolable there on the fainting couch at Smoldering Chode, and no amount of warm embraces from John McCain or even pitchers of hot rum, buttered rum toddies can console Lindsey. There he was, Lindsey Graham, the only Republican willing to acknowledge the existence of climate change. And he was rejected. Simply, oh, John, I thought they loved me. Hold me, John. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, but no, Pastor, Brother, Governor Mike Huckabee is still working the hustle. Oh, yes. A note coming in from Thomas over there at FYINation.com. Bob, multiple exclamation points. Thomas is working on his own gimmick. Jesus is mad and peeing all over Mount Morris with a Flint zip code, being you're telling this story. I hope with all your thoughts and prayers that we don't lose power because of all your praying tonight. Well, I do too. I do too. That's disturbing, to say the least. But being as how it's prayer meeting Wednesday, we have an absolute cornucopia of right wing evangelical fundamentalist homosexual weird. It's almost that's the way it is every Wednesday, isn't it? Yeah. Let's see here. I mentioned Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. Let's spend some time with the anointed future king of America, shall we? Courtesy of our dear friend Jude, we have this. Rafaelito is a big supporter of Troy Newman. Troy Newman is an insurgent extremist white winger who is worried about the little fetuses. Mm-hmm. And well, Ted Cruz just thinks he's the bee's knees. Because Troy Newman endorsed Raphaelito. Yes. Newman was instrumental in creating the absolutely fraudulent Planned Parenthood videos. Mm-hmm. And Troy Newman has, among other things, it called for the execution of people who provide women's reproductive health care, saying the government has a duty of executing convicted murderers, including abortionists, for their crimes in order to expunge blood guilt. That's one of them German compound nouns here. Blood guilt from the land and people. Mm-hmm. Among other things, he thinks that people who murder abortion doctors are political prisoners. Yeah, that Raphaelito, he's a joy. Truly, not a joy. But Raphaelito is kind of thin-skinned. Mm-hmm. I want to share something with you real quick. Back last Saturday, when we were getting ready to watch the Democratic campaign pageant, which was not a debate by any definition. Well, Raphaelito released a parody ad, because Raphaelito thinks he's funny. I'll let you judge for yourself. Now, understand the way this tableau sets up. He and that woman who married Raphaelito are seated on a couch in a festive holiday decorated room with their two little girls between them. Okay, they've got their two children, their two little girls between them, all dressed up in cute little holiday dresses, and you get the idea. And so Raphaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. Well, he's using his children as props for his sick, political, twisted ideas. Well, you'll get it from the audio. You'll get it.
Imagine the greatest Christmas stories told by the senator who once read Green Eggs and Ham from the Senate floor.
'Twas the night before the shutdown, and all through the House, not a bill was stirring, not even to fund a mouse.
A Proven Record presents a collection of timeless Christmas classics, read by the trusted conservative leader, Ted Cruz. Favorites such as How Obamacare Stole Christmas and Rudolph the Underemployed Reindeer.
All of the other reindeer couldn't afford to hire Rudolph.
Act now and you'll get a leader who does exactly what he says he's going to do. In this case, read festive stories like Frosty, the Speaker of the House.
Okay, so this guy is such a gut bucket of sleaze. Now we've had our fun with former Speaker John Boehner, sure.
With me going so far as to sort of make this my John Boehner voice.
But here's a commercial involving little children who are at best 10 and under. Okay. I mean, little patent leather Mary Jane shoes and, right. Just cute. Adorable. A family tableau. In which he is using them to advance his remorseless political ambitions. And lo and behold, what does this family values guy here have? Why, they show the front of a book. Frosty, the Speaker of the House. In which case, the Speaker of the House is shown as being sort of orange in color, with a cigarette dangling from his lip,
and a glass of wine in his hand.
This is what he's reading to his children.
Look, the speaker is melting before Congress.
And the Lois Lerner masterpiece, Auditing Saint Nick.
I will audit him here or there. I will audit him anywhere.
The whole family will enjoy reading stories like The Grinch, Who Lost Her Emails.
I know just what I'll do, she said with a snicker. I'll use my own server and no one will be the wiser.
And if you act now, we'll...
Okay, so the kid got lines, right?
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't just showing them that, no, this was actual involvement.
Throw in the inspiring new Christmas story, soon to be an instant classic.
Please read this one, Daddy.
Yeah, that's the other kid getting into the act.
Okay.
The Senator Who Saved Christmas.
Oh, this is a good one.
If you are not completely satisfied with this collection of Cruise Christmas classics, you probably hate Christmas.
There's a favorite. Death to Christmas, the Ayatollah's Big Red Bomb, Miracle on K Street,
and America.
I'm Ted Cruz, and I approve this message.
Get alerts.
Okay,
when
so you got that, right? Yeah. That's his ad. So when he put that out, an editorial cartoonist at the Washington Post by the name of Ann Telnes, who has for a very long time been an editorial cartoonist at the Post, she wrote, there's an unspoken rule in editorial cartooning that a politician's children are off limits. But when a politician uses his children as political props, as Ted Cruz recently did in his Christmas parody video, in which his eldest daughter read with her father's dramatic flourish a passage of an edited Christmas classic, then I figure they're fair game. And so she produced an editorial cartoon showing a caricature of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. Mm-hmm. Dressed up in a Santa suit as an organ grinder with two little monkeys on leashes out in front. And when she tweeted it, she said, Ted Cruz uses his kids as political props, which is exactly what he did. There's no nuance there. There's no gray area. There's no shading of meaning. No, that is exactly what he did. And it's not just exactly what he did. It's exactly what his wife consented to him doing. So technically, she should be in the cartoon too, probably standing six paces back behind Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. But as it stands, it's just a cartoon that shows Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, yada, 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 as a Santa-suited organ grinder with two little monkeys on leashes out in front of him. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? No matter how many sleazy references to Lois Lerner, Hillary Clinton, John Boehner, even, were in that parody ad, well, Rafaelito is he's the injured party. He tweeted out at Ann Telnes in the Washington Post, Washington Post makes fun of my girls. Stick with attacking me. Caroline and Catherine are out of your league. Well, then, Rafaelito, why did you put them in that league? And so, consequently, Fred Hyatt, the editorial page editor of the Washington Post, declared, "Oh, my stars and garters!" and pulled the editorial cartoon from the online presence of the Washington Post and disappeared it. because we simply must not serve sauce to the goose that has been served already to the gander. Yeah? Yeah. Because Raffaellito, well, Raffaellito is special. Raffaellito is untouchable. As Kathy points out in the chat room, hi, Kathy. He bitched about the cartoon and then put a pic of the cartoon onto his website to raise money. Again, off of his daughter's backs. Man, oh man, that is some kind of Christian, ain't it? Yeah. We're not done. Oh no, we ain't done. We got more and funner even, and more Raffaellito even, for prayer meeting Wednesday, but we'll take a break right now. And I want to thank Brother Deacon Asa for jumping in. Wow. Thank you, Asa. We are now $114 to the good. Thank you very, very kindly. From Thomas via email. Oh, my God, Bob, the rain stopped as soon as you started talking about Cuban sperm donor by way of Canada, King of America, Ted Cruz. I think Jesus stopped peeing to laugh. I'm not sure how I feel about this. It's a Christmas miracle. Yes. Yes, it is. Brother Deacon Asa says, praise God, glory, hallelujah. It's our Lord and Savior's birthday. Mm-mm-mm. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because, well, it's not like anybody ever celebrated anything this time of year before then. I mean, it's not like Mithras' birthday was December 25th, or Horus' birthday was December 25th, or the entire Roman culture celebrated a solstice holiday called Saturnalia, or Yule up in northern Europe, or none of that. No, didn't happen. Did not happen. Right. Got it. Good. So, yeah, a little break, and then we will come back. Yeah, it is After All Conversation Radio, and you're welcome to jump in if you so wish. The numbers, area code 304-574-8178. That's line one. And line two is the stress line, 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN. And, of course, Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet that doesn't have you all firewalled off. It's Bob Kincaid Horn, the contact number. And welcome, by the way. I've received some correspondence. Welcome to a couple of new members of the family. Welcome, Patrick, and welcome, Micah. Awfully, awfully good to hear from you both. So, yeah, we'll get right at it here in just a couple of minutes. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It was Christmas in prison, and the food was real good. We had turkey and pistols carved out of wood. And I dream of her always, even when I don't dream. Her name's on my tongue, and her blood's in my strain. Wait a while, eternity. Oh, my nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're blowing. By God. She reminds me of a chess game with someone I admire, all a picnic in the rain after a prairie fire. her heart is as big as this whole goddamn jail, and she's sweeter than saccharin at a drugstore safe. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're flowing, by God. The searchlight in the big yard swings round with the gun, and spotlights, snowflakes like the dust in the sun. It's Christmas in prison, there'll be music tonight. I'll probably get homesick, I'll love you, good night. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're flowing, by God.
A little holiday music for the season, and especially going out to Pastor DeWitt up in Arkansas. Him and his 50 counts of third-degree sexual assault, a Class C Christian felony. Amen, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, I was just, during the break, I was looking to, I was looking over to the Chicken Noodle News website. Apparently, tornadoes are ripping the living bee Jesus out of the Bible Belt again. Go figure. God made the heavens. God made the sky. God made, well, and he made the tornadoes, too. CNN reporting, on a day when millions of Americans were traveling to see their families and friends for Christmas, a line of fast-moving storms threatened residents from the Mississippi Valley to the Ohio Valley. A large and extremely dangerous tornado is moving through northwest Mississippi, the National Weather Service said Wednesday evening. Touchdown near Clarksdale. Reports of major damage to buildings in Sardis, about 45 miles east of Clarksdale. So I guess that storm system will, what, track up, southwest to northeast, northwest Mississippi. So it'll track up into Tennessee, I guess. Holly Springs, Mississippi, was next in the path. 4 people were injured in Coahoma County. But by all means, let's not get all excited or anything. I mean, this is just what tornadoes do. Because, you know, prayer. Prayer. Y'all pray now. Get praying. Might stop that tornado. Maybe if you pray hard enough, you'll survive and somebody else will die. Ain't Christianity grand? But it is disturbing to me because the map they show includes the county where I was born and raised in Alabama. I've seen a few down there. Seriously, I hope people are okay. Now, I might add that even in places that are routinely blown away by tornadoes, it's kind of unusual to have them for Christmas. Yeah, really, it is. It's downright bizarre. Tornado season generally starts in March. Not that it doesn't just sort of spring up like a mushroom after a warm spring rain in December. Except when it does. but rest easy. Rest easy. Exxon can tell you climate change is just a big old hoax. Let's run over to line one. I just betcha that's Todd. Is that you, Todd?
It is, and I'm breaking the rule because my radio's on. But I had to, when I heard that sociopath that you played, I cannot believe, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Raphaelito?
Listen, I have to really rewind, and maybe anyone who's not really familiar with his family and his background, before we get to the recent crazy, when I knew he was crazy when I, you know, I heard people talking about him, and then I went to YouTube, and you see his father in the service and what it looked like to me. Do you remember how the old local cable show would be? It would be kind of grainy and real low budget.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was a spoof. And, you know, they're wearing these weird hats, you know, like he's like a fake pope or something. And I was like, oh, my God, no, this is real. This guy is serious. And he's really, he thinks he's a minister. Well, I guess he proclaims himself to be a pastor. And whatever. In other words, this church looks like a cult. When you see the, you know what I'm talking about, Bob?
Oh, yes, I do.
The shit is, that's crazy. Now, all right, I'm not going to get excited.
Breathe, Todd. Breathe. It's okay. You can get excited. I mean, if there's a radio show out there you can get excited on, you can get excited here.
Well, I just find it very
strange. I mean, you can speak in tongues if you want to. It's prayer meeting Wednesday, Todd.
Now, I'm not Pentecostal. Don't get it twisted. But seriously, this so this is how, like, when he first came on the scene, this was out on the internet or whatever on the news, how his, you know, in other words, to give people a background of Ted Cruz's religious background, because these people are cult. If you think Southern Baptists are like a cult, these are really cultist type people. It's a cult.
Oh, for real.
So, and I'm not being flip or trying to be funny, because when you see the video of the service, it's strange looking, you know, it's strange looking. But okay, so fast forward to what you just played. Now, I always thought he was a sociopath, but the first line, I'm trying to cook, I'm trying to make dinner, I'm rolling up my...
You got no idea how many meals I ruin on a given night. I mean, it, pasta goes flying across the room. I mean, just power swearing. God, what? Yeah.
What is the
did
first
you scorch?
Line?
Did you scorch the Alfredo, Todd? Did you scorch the Alfredo?
If you know garlic, you can only cook garlic for a minute and a half, and it burns.
Yeah, right, and after that, it's awful.
It's awful. It goes from wonderful savory to nasty.
Yeah, toxic waste.
So. The first. What is funny about shutting the government down? First of all, how is that funny?
Well, see, to me, it's not. But he thought it was a real Lulu.
Now he's got his wife and his children wrapped up in this nonsense.
Yeah, because he's sleazy. He's nasty. And by the way, you're getting a note from brother Deacon Gerald saying, "Enhance your calm, Todd. Enhance your calm."
I'm trying.
Yeah, I know it ain't easy.
It's not because this guy could be he could be the next nominee. I mean, seriously. Something's going on, but all of them are just—it's just disturbing. It's just—I have an uneasy feeling. All these people, all of a sudden, Hillary's looking really good. I don't, you know, because these people are just insane.
Well, it's kind of like what Philip said in his note at the top of the program. Hillary is by far and away the best moderate Republican running.
Absolutely.
I mean, she'd fit right in. She'd fit right in there in the Eisenhower administration.
Maybe that's the plan. See, you've got the buffoon who's drawing in the red meat vote. You know, I mean, are people that like turned off to history now, where they can't even see the relationship or the likeness between the way Donald Trump, the way his rallies go in like a beer hall rally in Germany.
Well, they're ignorant of history, Todd.
Most, but it's so similar. It's like and let me tell you something. I know NEMA, where he went to NEMA. Well, we call it NEMA, New York Military Academy. They were all. I'm gonna use a word. I'm not gonna be too vulgar, but this is like a Fast Times at Ridgemont High type word, okay? And I think this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with dicks.
Yes.
You got Dick Cheney. These people are just dicks. And see, when you're a racist and you're an asshole and a dick. See, you could be a dick and not.
Oh, that, yeah, that's the trifecta.
You know, like with Sandra Bland. I think maybe that's why I'm irritated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the grand jury, and we're surprised why. The grand jury down in Texas returned no indictments related to the death of Sandra Bland. Not that anybody expected them in the first place.
Nothing.
Not a sausage.
Now what we saw on video, at the very least, a traffic stop does not warrant a male officer pulling on a woman out of the vehicle for, you know, a moving violation. Okay, number one. But, you know, we can't. We know what's going on. That's just, you know, I listened to you and Angry last night, so this is just part of a bigger picture. But if you notice, that officer was about 6 inches shorter than Sandra Bland.
Yeah.
Didn't help.
And to be fair, the grand jury did not address any of his actions at all. Apparently, that grand jury will be absolving him of any wrongdoing in January.
Well, that's what bothers me, because that sets the tone. It says, well, this is appropriate behavior for our department, and that is absolutely inappropriate behavior.
Yes.
No. I mean, what does it take? What does it take? But I really didn't want to get off on that tangent, because that's not all about race all the time. But see, that's where I'm back to the dick. See, this is where the dicks mess everything up, because then you don't know if somebody's being a dick because they're racist. You don't know if they're being a racist dick because they are a racist dick. Or you don't know if they're just being an asshole temporarily.
And the lines between all of those things blur significantly.
See, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
And they make the water muddy. You know, they make it, the water very muddy, because then you don't know who you're dealing with. You know, it's a mess. It's a mess. But Ted Cruz is just out of control. I don't understand. How in the world can they have that many crazy people in one ticket?
It's all the Republican Party is now.
I don't know if you heard Patty Reagan. I just heard it yesterday. Patty Reagan came out and said, my father would never identify with this party. She was like, oh no, Ronald Reagan would never identify with this party.
He couldn't get elected in this party. He'd be down there with poll numbers, probably lower than Jebbia's. But so too would Nixon. Okay. This is the Republican Party has given up on any pretense of sanity. It's just a nationalist, nativist, right wing, fascist. Clavern. That's all. I mean, I agree with Phillip's assessment that Hillary Clinton is the best moderate Republican running. She's also the only moderate Republican running. But the thing is, if she ran as the Republican that she is and started out life as, you remember, Goldwater Girl, at the same time that Bernie was getting arrested in civil rights marches, Hillary was a Goldwater Girl.
Right.
Okay. Right. And I mean, there are pictures of her standing there holding her Goldwater sign. In your heart, you know he's right. And you know what the response of the Johnson campaign was in 1964 when they came out with that slogan, in your heart, you know he's right? The Johnson people said, yeah, but in your guts, you know he's nuts.
Well, but you see, and a lot of folks, they don't want to look at the pedigree of Mrs. Clinton because she was Miss Rodham, which was a well-to-do family in the Chicago area, right? I believe it was Chicago, somewhere in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the Goldwater, that was very appropriate for someone of that social stature. That was the way to go, you know. And this nonsense that we have going on now, I just worry about our populace. Folks are, you know, we're back to slathering and ignorance again. You know, like you were angry. You touched on a lot of issues last night. Yeah, and this is what I don't understand. And I have to veer because I'm going to do you like a lot of people do me. What do black people think? Now you're a white guy, right?
Do I get to speak for all the white people now?
You may. It's your option. Now you can opt in.
I don't think I've ever been asked to speak for all the white people before. This is going to be fun.
Okay, this is what I would like to know. How is it that a significant number of people that I hear a lot of times, they'll say, "Well, you know, Obama's been the most divisive president racially that we've ever had." And I'm trying to bring about some concrete examples of where he's been racially divisive and not been truthful. And would you please give me some perspective on that from someone?
Well,
as a
white person, Todd, let me try to translate that out of the original whitey ease. Okay.
Okay.
He's been racially divisive. That's how you say in whitey ease, damn, that man's black.
Well, what do you think?
No, I mean, you think I'm kidding? I ain't kidding.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Racially what? Divisive because he's not white enough.
But okay. Well, now I recognize that. Thank you. So you had.
I mean, if he took some goddamn sandpaper and sandpapered the brown off of him, and then washed up real good with white Castile soap, and then laid on some white nurse's shoe polish, he might begin to be white enough to satisfy, but he'd still be a Democrat. See, and even if you're a right wing Democrat like Hillary Clinton. Or a center-right Democrat like Barack Obama, according to the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, and booger-eaters and birchers, and he's a goddamn liberal who hates Merca. What about Reverend Jeremiah Wright, huh? I mean, I posted a picture today, tongue-in-cheek, on my Facebook and Twitter feed, of a vehicle that I just happened to see whilst we were stopped in traffic, and I passed the phone over to Ferg and I said, quick, get a picture. And so I put the picture up and said, this is how we say Merry Christmas in almost level West Bicole, Virginia stand. And there were two stickers on the back of Cletus's pickup truck.
Uh-oh.
One of them said, Obama hates coal. I'm still trying to sort out. And on the other corner of the rear windshield of his pick-em-up truck was Calvin. You remember the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of your Cletai here in Redneck-topia will have the occasional Calvin, and Calvin's always peeing on something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's Calvin peeing on the number 24. And back in the day, it was Calvin peeing on the number 3. These are all NASCAR references, of course. But this one had Calvin peeing on the word Obama.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Really. And on the other side of me at the traffic light was an SUV with a sticker in the back just said pro-life. And then there's the fella who drives around with his SUV, and on the back, on his back window, it says O-B-A-M-A, Obama. And he's got words coming out left to right from one big ass mistake, America.
Oh, God.
So when you hear some God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual say, he's been racially, the most racially divisive president in history, what they mean is he's black.
Well, see, and I recognize, I mean, the visceral response now, I know that brick wall. So, and see, when I meet that in terms of people when they put that up, I know that no matter what I do, no matter what I say, they're going to put me through a certain filter. Right?
Well, no, when you see something like that on Facebook, you know that the person who posted it, whatever their picture may show on Facebook, you get to look at them and say, what, your Klan hood's at the laundry?
Yep.
Now, see, I got another one that sort of works in tandem with this. Jeb Bush trying to make himself seem like a thinker, and Talking Points Memo has the story. Declared that the problem, and this was a campaign stop and a question asked by someone who wanted him to say that the Confederate flag is just dandy. He said the problem with the Confederate flag isn't the Confederacy. The problem with the Confederate flag is what it began to represent later, and that's what we have to avoid to heal these wounds. He was trying to be a uniter and not a divider, because, you know, he can be that because he's white. But the problem is that's crazier in the head than the hog is in the ass.
What exactly? See, we're dealing with folks think they are. You know, I feel sorry for them, really, because this even ties into what Dr. Bill brought up maybe a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago in terms of what's happening with disaffected white men. Used to be the backbone of the working population now, and especially like where you are, see? And like your neighbors probably don't even understand how hard you're actually fighting for their health. And they're worried about stupid politics that they're being, you know, they're being goofed on. They don't even know it. You know? And here, you're talking about the Confederate flag. Now, yesterday morning, right here in the capital of Confederacy, a few miles away from me. All right, so they had to pull the flag down, but they did it with a compromise that said that they would make a memorial for the flag. We'll put it, you know, an appropriate setting, whatever appropriate means. You know, that's whatever that means. But anyway, so the proposal was a $5.3 million display. So there was an editorial in the state paper yesterday, which I had to respond to. Because I kind of know one of the editors over there. So I responded to it. But anyway, you know, and so this morning they had, for some reason, they had a mysterious meeting that was sparsely attended. That's what they said in the paper. So they knocked the price of the memorial down to $3.5 million now. And the kicker. The person who does the editorial in the paper, she said, well, you know, we're spending $5.3 million for a $53 flag, big question mark. You know, as if to say, you people are always talking about fiscal responsibility and big government and this and that. $5.3 million for $50-some. It's not even the real flag. It's some new shit. It's made out of nylon.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
I swear.
And beyond all doubt, made in China, right?
I couldn't believe it. I believe her when I read that. I had to respond early this morning when I was reading the paper. I was like, oh, my God, it's not even, it's unbelievable. But you know, folks are just clinging to things that are just not relevant anymore. And it's just putting them through it, you know, putting them through the loop. So, I don't know.
I know. It sometimes it just makes you want to hoot like a barn owl, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you take care, and I hope you have a great evening.
I hope you have a wonderful holiday, however it is you celebrate it, Todd, and that goes for everybody. And, I enjoy the Dickens, Christmas reference, Dickens, out of our conversations.
Likewise, Bob, absolutely.
All right, you be good. Take care, Todd. And, okay, let's run up to Michigan. Hey, welcome to the program.
Welcome, how are you?
Hey, Heather, what's happening?
Oh, not much, but I heard you talking about old Teddy.
Raffaelito.
I don't see how anybody could vote for a Republican or Trump. I got into it with a family member this morning.
Yeah, that's the problem with this time of year.
Yeah, that's the problem. Well, at least I don't have to see her anytime real soon. But I finally decided that I ain't going to tell her squat anymore. Because she hates the most moderate Republican that's running.
Hillary.
Yes. And...
Or did you mean Jebbia?
No, she meant Hillary. She doesn't like Hillary. She doesn't like... She thinks Jebbia's brother kept us safe.
And he did, except for those 3,000 people who died on September 11th and the 5,000 plus who died in his phony little ginned-up, faked-up, frauded-up, rubed-up wars.
Exactly.
Absolutely kept us safe. It kept us, except for the couple of people who died from anthrax, kept us safe from that, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's so funny because thank God my dad's not alive because I think my dad would kill her.
You got me thinking about it now, Heather. And except for all the people who died there in the lower Ninth Ward, he kept New Orleans safe during Katrina.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I do believe. I'm kind of thankful my dad's not here because I think he would want to strangle her by this point. But, you know.
Like I said, the holidays are hard.
Huh?
The holidays are difficult. I mean, the only way around it, and it's more difficult, it's made more difficult because, see, your average right-winger will not keep his or her opinions to his or herself. Your average right-winger at the holiday table will sit there and proudly declare, especially if we're talking about white folks, okay, and we are, mm-hmm. White-wingers. They'll assume that because you're white like them, you must certainly share their same deranged political views. And so they will sit there and proudly bray like a goddamn donkey their ignorance. And then they get all butt hurt if you go, you know, you're crazier in the head and the hog is in the ass. and you're free to use that one up in Michigan. I don't know if it'll have any meaning for them, but you're welcome to it.
But I've decided that I'm going to hide the crazy from her. So she thinks I'm totally crazy because I don't think the way her family thinks. I swear I told her to quit reading that damn newspaper. Unfortunately, it's the Herald Palladium. And it is a right-wing rag. It's red in this area, and it... Oh, I wouldn't read the paper if you paid me. But there's a paper a few cities over, and that's a little more liberal, which I'm thankful for. I'll read that, but my dad actually read that paper his whole life, so that might be where he got some of his views from, too.
Well, once upon a time, there were actually supposedly liberal papers and conservative papers, and... here in West Virginia, we just had a merger between the Charleston Gazette, which was ostensibly the liberal paper, and the Charleston Daily Mail, which was ostensibly the right-wing paper. And so now you open up the op-ed page of your newspaper, and there on the left side is the op-ed page for normal thinking human beings, and then over there on the right is your Fox News op-ed page, which I tried to line our canary cage with, and our canary wasn't having any damn part of it.
Your canary is very intelligent.
Yeah, our canary is imaginary. It's an imaginary canary.
But I just figured I'd call and say hello and happy holidays.
Well, I do appreciate it, Heather, and happy holidays to y'all as well. And all we can do is just try to get through the meal.
All righty. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Take care, Heather. Bye now. Oh, the evening is off and running with some lovely conversation. Thanks to Todd and thanks to Heather. Both lines are open. If you want to jump in, you are more than welcome. 304-574-8178 and 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. And, I tend to agree with Carol Baker, who says in regard to the stickers on the cars of the people I was referencing, talking to Todd, fagoots, Bob, you're surrounded by fagoots. Fagoots to the left of me, fagoots to the right of me, here I am, stuck in the middle with fagoots. I don't think that one's going to be the chart topper I was hoping for. No. Let's see here. Got a note here from, from Tom Thomas. Please invite everyone to our second annual Ho 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 Extravaganza on Some Say tomorrow. We're going to have holiday party for those happy hermits or hiding liberal humanitarian heathens like myself. Come one, come all to the festivities. The fun starts at 3 p.m. Eastern Time over at FYINation.com. Doubting Thomas and Some Say. Pretty please, Bob. Absolutely. Tim from L.A. with an observation. Hillary, an Eisenhower Republican? I don't think so. Eisenhower top tax tier rate was 91%, while capital gains was at 25%. Even Reagan had the top tax at 50%, with capital gains at 20% in 86. I see her more of a shrub Republican when it comes to comparison. I may be wrong. I don't know. I say Eisenhower just because he seems to be the benchmark for Republicans who were not entirely frothing at the mouth crazy. Because your next Republican president is 10 years later, 8 years later, 9 years later, and it's as Harry Truman called him, Richard Pinhead Nixon. And while some things got accomplished under his administration, there was far more weirdness, meanness, and paranoia than anything else. So you'll notice the Republicans never talk about the great days of the Nixon administration. No, not so much at all. Okay, let's run back over to the stress line for a minute. It's Jim in Nevadistan. Oh, wrong button. There you are.
What's up, Bob?
What's happening, Jim?
Well, our future president, Bernie, he's coming out to Las Vegas on Monday.
Very nice. Are you going to try to go see him?
Yes, kind of on the other side of town, but I'm going to get out there and do it.
We have other members of the Horn Family Commune congregation in Vegas. Where is it?
Did I write it down? I couldn't find it. It's a phone number. What is it? I can't think of it. Kind of like over in Pahrump, I think. I think that's it. I might be messing it up. I'll get it straightened out. I'll call you tomorrow. I don't have it written down. I got to check that out, and then there's a phone number I got to call. It'll be the second time I saw him because I saw him in Louisiana stand. It was packed. It was 4,000 in.
No, I imagine he'll draw quite a crowd in Vegas.
Well, I'm sure he will. I mean, well, Vegas is kind of like, you know, and you and I have talked about it, like certain states, they might tend to be red, but where the big cities are, they're tend to, you know, they're blue.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know? It's just, you know, there's a way, if somehow we being, using the universal term Democrats, to kind of, you know, I don't know, get more people enlightened to how much they're voting against their own self-interest, particularly if they're not voting for Bernie, my esteemed opinion. I mean, because Hillary's, like you say, just a Eisenhower Republican, and that's kind of insulting Eisenhower, because I think Eisenhower, well, he at least knew about the military-industrial complex and warned us about it. I wonder if Hillary will have anything to say about that, you think?
No. No.
She won't get in touch with her inner Eisenhower girl?
Yeah, I know. That,
you know.
In your heart, you know, maybe, he's right.
Yeah, you know, maybe if we all got developed, you, me, and the whole Horn family got together to have an epiphany and resign and endorse Bernie and become the liberal, which you're inner liberal. I don't like that word liberal. I like left wing.
Well, I prefer socialist myself.
Yeah.
Okay, here are the details. Sparky kindly providing them to me from the chat room. Future to Believe In event with Bernie Sanders, Monday, December 28th, Canyon Springs High School, 350 East Alexander Road, North Las Vegas, Nevada, 89032.
Okay. Canyon Springs Road, okay.
Canyon Springs High School.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll be there.
We will be expecting a report.
Okay, well, it's you and like a couple of months last night. And, yeah, because I missed one time when he was out here. This would be, I think, like the third or fourth time he's been out here. I know Nevada's, you know, is a purple state, as they say. So I think he's got a chance to win Nevada, you know.
I'd almost think he's got a better chance in Nevada than Iowa.
A better chance in Nevada than Iowa?
A better chance, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he's got a pretty good chance in Iowa. I think he's doing pretty well up there.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if he wins in New Hampshire, does well in Iowa, and then does well in the, and that's caucuses in Nevada, right?
Right, caucus.
The game's on then, right?
Yeah, because I voted in the caucus before, and it's cool because back I voted in, what was it, 08, and I voted for, and then I was going to vote for Kucinich, but there was just like 100 people in my little group, and it was like a 45-45 tie, so I ended up voting for Hillary. Because if I didn't, my vote wouldn't have counted. You see, because you have to, I think it was 15%.
Right.
And, you know, I had a chance of getting some kind of talk people over, but both the Hillary crowd and the Obama crowd was staunchly that way. And I knew there was no way. And even then, I just think one of the things I don't like about Hillary is quite a few, but one of the things I like is the continuation of a family. We already had, you know, Bush twice. It looks like W's out, thank goodness. Not W, Jeb. Jebya. Jebya's out. So at least, you know, we've kind of stopped the monarchy thing there. But here we go with the monarchy thing of the Clintons. You know, and then I can see, what, 8 years from now, if Hillary gets in twice, then what, Chelsea will be ready?
Or the next generation of Bushes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think W's got to screw up the Bush name for good. I hope. But never underestimate the stupidity of the American public. It's my standard opinion. So that's what's going on. And You report, I guess, probably Tuesday.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good. All right, Jim. If I don't talk to you before Christmas, I hope you have a happy holiday.
Double back at you. See, yeah, happy holiday. I like saying that. It gets them pissed off.
Or Holy Mary days, or something like that. Right.
Mithras
is the reason for the season.
That's it.
All right. See you, Jim.
Talk to you later.
Bye now. Buddy Jim calling from Nevadistan. Now, okay, so we've had ourselves some prayer meeting cruiseliciousness. Oh, that's just gross to even think about, isn't it? Oh, by the way, I love what Carol Baker said here from Facebook. Sorry to the folks having very bad weather. There is a tornado outbreak from Illinois to Tennessee on Christmas Eve. Please don't ask for prayers. Ask for politicians who recognize climate change. And don't get pissed at me for asking who sent the bad weather in the first place if you're going to ask me for prayer. Pray in one hand, in the other one, see which one fills up first. There we go. But no, back to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. So Rafaelito found his way from Manhattan in New York City down to Nash Vegas, Tennessee, Stan, where he had a rally down there. That was yesterday. And at that Clavering meeting, it turned out that in addition to having Rafaelito swearing that once he's president, he'll make the Department of Justice investigate Planned Parenthood and find out just how many babies they've done et and cooked in the little fondue pots and dipped in chocolate sauce and melted caramel and marshmallow fluff and the little hot pots of frying oil there. What is this? It's delicious. Baby, what? Baby. Those of you who have read Gary Jennings' Aztec will understand where that comes from. What is this? It's good. Baby, what? Baby. As part of the rally, Rafaelito gave what is referred to in religious circles as his testimony. That's the story of his conversion to the saving grace of Christ Jesus and how he developed a personal relationship with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And along the way, he gave a highly fantastical version of his father's conversion. I'm going to save you the trouble of listening to all of that. It's just nauseating. But at one point in time, apparently what turned Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American, what turned him was when he was arguing, because Rafaelito goes to great pains to explain, you know, my daddy was a scientist and a Cuban. And he says, he asked this preacher, and the preacher was present at this rally, this Clavering meeting. The preacher who converted Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American, he was there, and they talked about how Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American, asked him, well, what about the man in Tibet who's never heard of Jesus Christ? And the wily preacher said, well, I don't know about that man. Well, I mean, he knows. He's going to fry in the hell that the loving God done made for him to fry in. And, of course, being all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful, he already knows the Tibet man in Tibet's going to fry. But he said, but apparently, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American, well, he was just gobsmacked, and he said, but what's your excuse, Rafael? What's your excuse? You're here right now. I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. What's your excuse? And right then and there, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American, fell on his knees and accepted Christ Jesus as his Savior. Like I said, it's pretty disgusting. But then comes the part where Pastor Galen Wiley of the Clay Road Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, who was there for some reason or another in Nash, Vegas, began to deliver a prayer. And the next thing you know, now listen carefully to this guy's voice, okay? For those of you who think that the prayer meeting Wednesday shtick is some sort of over the top impression of a Southern evangelical fundamentalist minister, it isn't. It's not over the top at all. It's downright restrained. So after story time, Reverend Galen Wiley, and he is a wily one, Wiley Coyote, super genius. I like the sound of that. Well, then he leads the assembled faithful there. Your Raphaelites, I don't know, in prayer. And you're going to love it. You're just going to love it.
Folks, he told it just as it happened. You and I live in a world that we don't understand much of. But I'm telling you, the providence of God will work in your life as it worked in mine and with Ted and his father and mother and his cousin. I baptized Ted and his cousin the same night. Marvelous, the things that Bibi has done in her life, in her family. You never know, the seed that you sow will come to fruit. And in heaven there'll be rejoicing, as there already is with Daryl and Pat Lassonde, who opened their home that Raphael and I could have that encounter. God is good all the time, folks. And you and I live in
all the time, even when he's good all the time, even when he's dropping tornadoes on Holly Springs, Mississippi. Clap, monkeys.
And I don't want occasions like this to end without us realizing that God is in control. And Ted Cruz is committed not only to conservative philosophy.
Yeah, theocracy.
But with conservative theology as well. He's going to make us a great president to make our nation a great nation again.
Because we ain't great right now, because that one's in our White House, that Kenyan Muslim you slurper. With his secret Indonesian madrasa Muslim ways.
I want you to do something. I want all of you to stretch your hands out.
Wave your donations in the air.
As you have your hands stretched out, we're going to lay hands on Ted Cruz. Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I come to anoint my brother in the Lord. That son, Lord, that's raised up to follow you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that he'll not let those who gave their lives in World War II, like my brother Preston did.
What? World War II? What?
Like the thousands of others that are in this crowd that lost loved ones in the war since.
And what's with the wars?
Lord Jesus, that you'd take the hands of this man and put the mantle upon him, that he might lead our land back to where we were, to the forefathers of our father and our mother, our God, Lord, of God days gone by.
Whom deliver?
We'd return our land to you. We commit that to you today, Lord, and thank you that Ted came to visit in Nashville again today. And we could renew that, Lord. Help us not forget those little boys and girls that one day will grow up to be servants like Ted. So, Lord, he'd been a good senator from my home state. He'll be a good president to all of our states. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we do understand, don't we? With all this hooting and hollering going on, we do under and you'd kind of have to see the video. But with all this hooting and hollering going on, and the laying on of hands and the anointing, they actually believe that shit. It is real to them. They are, because with the video there, you see all their little hands stretched out toward Raphaelito. They're actually practicing magic. That's what that is. That's magic. Because they're magically going to make Ted Cruz, Raphaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American. They're using their Jesus magic to make him be president. But here's the fun part. Even when he isn't president, they're going to keep believing in their magic. And for the life of me, I am plumb licked about what, and we're going to return our land to you. If anybody deserves to have the land returned to them, I think there's a conversation we could have with some Lakota and some Anishinaabe and some Cheyenne and some Apache and some Navajo, Dine, some, yes. Hey, let's go and, there's Thomas. Oh, Thomas.
Yeah, Brother Bob, you woke me up, man. You played the songs of angels, don't you know?
Oh, glory.
I felt like my hands were being laid upon me, and the tears from Christ were running down. And this is the second time I've heard this.
It's about the fourth for me. And I'm still not okay. It doesn't get any better with number five. I mean, as Carol Baker says, for fuck's sake, amen.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah, even. I just...
Or as some evangelicals say, amen.
Yeah, huh? Now, my favorite part in that, and you caught it, was the theocracy. That was my favorite part, because they finally told the truth. And I think it kind of slipped. And then he kind of did it again, but it wasn't quite theocracy. You know, the conservative theocracy. No. Back that up.
Well, I mean, that line of... So last night, God was in control, and this evening, there's a line of tornadoes maybe bearing down on the suburbs of Nashville, for all I know.
Well...
Is God in control there, too?
Well, he's just mad because all those people didn't have their hands out for Teddy on his birthday. See, that it was Ted's birthday. Come on, the King of America's birthday. And if you ain't praising him, you're going to hell.
Well, we're going to hell anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm all right. There's some contrariety there, but we'll leave that aside for the moment. But I'm fascinated because we've had this conversation before, right? This is the only one that I see who, like, has the blood of the lamb wanting this White House as bad as he does. And that's scary.
Oh, no. This weirdo will be painting doorposts with real blood if he gets into the White House. It'll probably be sort of a barber. I mean, you know how barber poles came into being, right?
Yeah, I remember the story, but I don't remember.
Barbers served as surgeons, too, back in the day.
Yep.
And they would wrap their bloody towels around the post.
Yep.
And that's how the barber pole got to be that way. Well, you're going to have a barber pole theme on the White House. This guy's going to be anointing and blood cleansing. He's the real deal. He's Taliban, okay?
He's the insurgent. He really is, and I stretch that to my audience. And I'm glad you and Mike are on this because I'm so new that I don't think I have the gravitas that you guys do to get them to realize that I'm.
Well, if you get the gravitas, a couple of doses of milk and magnesia will clear you right up.
Or the blood of the lamb.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. But no, I mean, See, I don't. Are they reporting it? This guy has quietly moved into like first place in Iowa.
Oh yeah, they are. And in one poll,
right?
Yeah, and in one poll, he was within the margin of error of T-Rump nationally. Now there's another poll that everybody's reporting to have that T-Rump advertising money where he's 20 points behind. But I believe the poll where he's in the margin of error nationally because of the evangelical, you know. Because where are they going to go, Huckstervie?
Well, and that's the Charlie Pierce pointed out that, okay, so maybe they'd go to Rubio. But Rubio's religious history is a little too weird and checkered.
If he even has one.
Well, he was Roman Catholic. And then he was a Mormon for a while, and now he's going to Mass, and he's also going to a mega church somewhere in South Florida.
Okay, that's
I mean, that's just a little too St. Paul. That's a little too low. I was all things to all people.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you just throw in? I don't know what to throw in with that. I did not know he was a Mormon at one point. This is news to me. Thank you.
Yeah, no, he was. He had a dalliance. I don't know if he. I don't ever know if he ever made it up to the magic underwear or not. But
well,
know.
I was going to ask: does he still have the pair of magic underwear just in case for nights out? I mean, as you need them.
The blessed BVDs. I don't know.
Yeah.
By the way, Devin with a note said, "You know, if God is in control, then evangelicals should not vote. Just trust God."
Well, that's what they did with Mitt.
God, Bishop Willard Romney. Yeah. Devin also offered up a prayer, Thomas. He said, Almighty IRS, please strip this church of tax-exempt status. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm looking at my CNN hat, and what I see for Ted Cruz is a lot of blood, a lot of everywhere. And that's the scary thing. Oh, by the way, for those
and Lord bless the precious little boys and girls.
Oh, that was the best, and the fetuses too, and especially the most holy one that's going through the Mary birth canal right now, because it happens every year. You know, she's screaming. I could hear it. My ears are ringing, and.
Yeah, she's probably, you know, for all we know, she's hollering, ISIS is good, ISIS is great. Like that 82-year-old woman heard them two people through the wall in Wisconsin a few nights ago.
Yes, and for all we know, that could have been the dog ISIS, you know, or a dog. But
I prefer to think they was just a little liquored up. It's that time of year, you know, Wisconsin has the highest per capita brandy consumption in the United States, and this is good, this is great.
And that works. New brand. Yeah. And I personally prefer the Dash or Dash Holes. Either way, I'm okay with that. I've never liked ISIS because, again, I think I emailed you this once. It really pisses off that God. And I don't know how she's going to react. Now, I don't need her sparring with Jesus.
Lucky for us, she's not real.
Well, that's true, but just in case.
I know. Covering your bases, just like Marco Rubio.
Exactly.
Hey, the Mormons may have it right. Maybe those plates of gold, maybe there really is something called Reformed Egyptian.
Well, and not for nothing, who doesn't want their own planet when they die?
With your own whole bunch of sister wives.
Yes. And
you got the eternal schlong going on now. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, no need for Viagra anymore. You know, that sounds like a good old time.
Just walking around priapic as hell, looking for a sister wife, a knot hole, whatever.
I mean, how often, honestly, is that magic underwear going to be on in the afterlife?
Yeah. A note coming in from Ron in the not even a little bit chilly north. Please advise Thomas that if one lives in God's urinal, one should expect to get a bit damp from time to time.
Oh, see, that's why I don't go outside unless I'm going to the girlfriend's. See, I literally am the hermit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not outside except to go to see the girlfriend because she's worth it. And
She'll be so pleased with that ringing endorsement, Thomas. remind me to start a new program, Relationship Advice for Thomas.
Oh, well, that's going to be... I don't think we have enough time in the day for that program. But, you know, it's I've always said I'm an asshole, and she knows this. She listened to my program before we met, so...
Oh, and she's just sitting there hoping you're getting it all out of your system on the air.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. But I don't get this whole cruise thing. Like, I listened to that on the show. I listened to preview it because I love those. Those are my, when they lay on bands, I'm there. It's like the Benny Hinn, you know, waving the jacket around. Somebody might fall
down. Yeah, sticking fingers in ears like Ernest Angley.
Yeah,
out, foul demon of deafness. Say baby, baby.
Exactly, or either way, it works for me. And I like that. Like my daughter's mom, when I was a conservative, kind of still, not really, to drive her slightly insane, and this is why our relationship didn't work. Again, that show would last way too long. I would put on TBN and just watch for, you know, boredom's sake. Because why not?
Well, if you've got a strong stomach, yeah, you can take a little bit of that now and then.
Yeah.
Well, that's like having right wingers on the program. I lost patience. Sorry.
But this is a day where Paul Crouch, back when he was. You know,
And his wife was putting Tammy Faye to shame.
Yeah, yes. And that hair, I love that hair. Oh my God, it was straight out of the 70s Dolly Parton Bad Disco song, but it was beautiful. It was a sign of God's true, you know, truthiness.
Oh, now see, you're gonna make me play a Saturday Night Live bumper if you're not careful.
Oh, see,
I have an entire library here of saved up 138 beats per minute disco anthems, courtesy of the world's most fabulous ex-gay radio program host, Peter Godbold.
Ooh, see, now you just made my heart all flutter. Mm-hmm. This is why I adore your show, Bob.
Oh, you ought to go back, go into the archives, check out Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold from several years back. There was great disco at the end of every program.
Oh, see now my favorite Dolly song, my only favorite Dolly song is 9 to 5, and we changed our 5 o'clock intro.
Oh no, you're missing so much, Thomas. The best Christmas crying your beer song on earth is a Dolly Parton tune.
Really?
Hard Candy Christmas.
Okay, see, now I'm playing that on the Ho 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 Extravaganza tomorrow.
Not if you want people to be happy.
I don't necessarily need that to be enjoyed.
One of these days, I got to have a long talk with that boy.
But not tonight, because I'm sure other people want to talk to you. But again, people, thank you for bringing, our future King of America. Well, our King of America. He was anointed again, for Christ's sake, to the table. And thank you for letting me know about the Mormon underwear for Marco Waterboy Rubio, because that's always nice to know.
Waterboy?
Yeah, that's what I call him, Marco Waterboy Rubio.
Okay, can't do that. I mean, why? You can't just throw that out there. Why?
Okay, because of the speech he gave, the presidential.
Marco Parched Rubio, yes.
Yeah, because all I could,
thought you were making a reference to him being like Adam Sandler.
No, what
which
what
I thought I, was would have been particularly cruel.
Well, I
even for not, Rubio.
It is the holidays. This is when I get that way.
Yeah, this is some top quality H2O.
What I really wanted for that speech was the office, water cooler. So every time he went, all you heard was blug, blug, blug.
Gabloop, gabloop, gabloop.
Because that's what I just kept seeing every time he went into.
You know, that's one of the things that makes this program special, the sound effects. Gabloop.
See, and I'm sound effects challenged unless I have my soundboard. That's why I love your show, because you're a little slightly better talented than me. So, I just want to, you know, thank you for reading my note for the ho-ho-ho.
Yeah, so it starts at 3?
Yes, 3, because my favorite lazy patriarch, Jeff Waldorf, will not be doing his show tomorrow because he's already dealing with family. Sorry.
Well, by God, that's, I mean, now that sounds like a show title. The Lazy Patriarch.
Yeah, he's going to kill me for that. This is the second show I've called him that on that today. So he's just loving me.
Yeah, okay, so we'll file that one under how to maintain harmony with one's hosts on one's network. And we'll, that, you know, that's part of the, that's part of the subtree under one of these days. I got to have a long talk with that boy.
Again, a relation. You're like my Dr. Phil, man.
Now quit that.
But logic and reason.
If I can't be Joy, if I can't be Dr. Joyce Brothers, I don't want to be anybody.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay, I could be Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Do you make drag work? That's the question.
No.
See that? Then if you can't do that, I can pull. I was one Halloween. I was Princess Diana. That will never happen again.
Are there photos?
I think my mother may. And they will never be shown.
Well, see, I did a Christmas play many years ago now called, have you ever heard, there's a one act play and there's two characters in it and they play about 30 different people called, Greater Tuna. It's about a, it's about a radio station in Texas. And, okay. And the author followed that up with something called A Tuna Christmas.
See, I hate tuna, so that would be the perfect play for me.
Well, it's hilarious. They're both hilarious, but. There was the one when one is in that, one plays female characters as well as male ones.
Okay.
And so there was one scene where I was playing a granny, and it was Christmas time. Ooh. And to create the impression of breast-a-sis-a-sis-a-sis-a-sis, we got a pair of pantyhose, short ones, filled them with rice and draped them around my neck. And so when I came hobbling out on my walker on stage, those things were going like twin pendulums. And for pure sight gag beauty.
Oh, Lord.
There wasn't a dry seat left in the house. I think the entire theater peed itself, you know, four nights running.
Oh, wow.
And you ever seen people doing like live, well, like on Saturday Night Live, yeah. where they start losing it and can't keep their own composure?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, because you really do. You try to keep your, but it got really, really difficult. I mean, you want to talk about some infectious laughter.
No, I...
You know, long flannel nightgown and... You know, because rice is kind of rice. You know, rice. The two bags of rice will get some momentum going.
Yes.
After a while, it kind of made you stumble with the walker.
You didn't give anybody any need for Obamacare, did you? During that.
Well, no. But we found out another side effect of Obamacare, by the way, Thomas.
Yes.
It apparently can make doctors commit. It can cause them to. All unwillingly commit Medicaid fraud.
Ah, is that yeah?
Yeah. Dr. Harry Persaud is 56 years old, and it turns out he's a cardiologist in Ohio, and he's going to do 20 years in the big house because he did a lot of invasive heart tests and open heart surgeries that they didn't even need. And billed various insurers for millions of dollars along the way and said that he's been targeted because of the Affordable Care Act, that Obamacare, trying to make doctors cut down on procedures. You have to err on the side of caution. It's often a life or death situation. It's Russian roulette, and I do not want to play with my patients' lives, so I do the procedures.
Well, as somebody who was born with congenitive heart failure, I hope he drops the soap. I'm just going to say that because I've woken
winds, up. And winds up crawling around on the shower floor looking for it.
Yeah, I know President Obama doesn't want us making those jokes anymore, but I have woken up from while getting a catheter, and that hurts.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if some doctor was, you know, making me do that and waking up because of that, I would not be calling you today. I would be in prison for it, because if I found out it was unnecessary, I don't like going into a hospital in the first place, let alone seeing a doctor, because of all the issues I've had. And we've talked about them before. But, oh, my God, that doctor would not be seeing the light of day the next day.
Well, and it turns out with Dr. Persaud, one patient, a guy named Anthony Barber, also 56 years old, had a stent put in a coronary artery, and he didn't even need it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes, and this guy, they would not need to give him 20 years. I would save the state money and perhaps, you know, get an award if me and this guy encountered each other. I'm just saying.
And so, I mean, these things come with consequences. He was told, the guy was, by Dr. Persaud, that he had a life-threatening condition. And so he said, okay, put in the stent. But now he goes back to the other doctors, and they say, well, yeah, you didn't have a life-threatening condition, but it's more risky for us to take the unnecessary stent out than to just leave it there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Nikki will tell you, I have a huge fear of dealing with stuff like that, and it takes me forever to even go to a doctor. Oh, yeah, I'm not even kidding about that, if that were the case with everything I've gone through. Mm-mm. Yeah. But on that note, thank you for ruining my... See, this is a switch. Usually, I'm giving the caller a little bit of agitation. You gave me some.
I got you nice and worked up. Done to a tender turn. Happy Christmas.
Yes, exactly. And thank you for being on the network, Bob. It's great having you.
Oh, well, I have a lot of fun, and I've got to meet a lot of neat, wonderful new people.
And hopefully everything will be equally as fun next year. Or Jesus Jet will come and arrive and get it. Well, not us. But that'll make it easier.
Indeed, indeed. Thomas, have a good evening.
You too, Bob.
Bye now. And that, of course, is Thomas of Some Say over at FYINation.com. Started talking about Ernest Angley, and I looked over to my chat, and I saw where Carol had said, "Bad, bad." I'm still trying. You know, she's got the Betty Rubble laugh going for her. I'm still trying to convince her to dial in and just say, "Bad, bad." If you've never seen Ernest Angley, go find the clips on YouTube. I'm sure he's there. Meanwhile, up in the tepid north, Ron says, by now, Mary would have divorced Joseph on account of him not making a reservation ahead of time, not listening to her instructions about the bed requirements. Where's my obstetrician? Where's my Manischewitz? Where the hell is that Demerol you promised me? And who are these three dudes who seem to show up every time this happens? And what's with the donkey? Enough with the donkey. No more donkey. Yeah. And why are we in Tijuana and not Bethlehem? Had to work that one in. Hey, look, I conjured Carol. Oh, Carol.
Say bay bay.
Bay bay.
Bay bay. Say bay bay. Loud. Ernest Angley was like the most fun thing for me as a kid.
Oh, he's better than the Three Stooges.
He's way better. I'm just sorry he's not on the air anymore.
Well, is he still alive?
Yes.
Wow.
Old snake oil salesmen don't die, honey. They just move on to another network.
Well, have we sorted out why God's dropping tornadoes on people for Christmas?
No, I was told that he, you know, while they were under the threat of a tornado, he wasn't there to debate the existence of God. I thought my question was very fair.
Well, I do too. I mean, can they not answer it?
No, apparently my timing is bad. Of course, if the sun was shining, I have a feeling my timing would be
right.
Bad.
This is not the time for talking about that kind of thing. We have to pray right now.
Can I have an amen, Brother Bob?
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
I'm telling you, there's nothing like selling Jenny Lynn cosmetics and the Lord.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Say bye-bye.
Got his fingers in their ears. I mean, do you reckon he washed his hands in alcohol every evening after it was over?
I don't know, but I feel sorry for the young people because back in the 60s, on Sunday morning, Ernest Angley was on, and I mean, we were like moths to a flame, us kids, because we were a bunch of hellions. And the whole time the show was on, we would be holding each other down. Say baby.
Good God. Yeah, he may not be on the TV anymore, but he's still got a Boeing 747.
And a bad rug.
It couldn't look any more fake if it had a chin strap. Makes Trump's look absolutely real.
I had never heard that before.
Oh, that's from one of those classic old Bud Light commercials. Here's to you, bad toupee wearer. Real American Heroes. Now I'm going to have to go find that.
Oh, I think I just beat a little.
Oh, it just like the people in that theater audience 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 13.
That still reminds me of that movie with Martin Lawrence where he plays the grandma or something, and he's like an undercover cop, and he plays this old one. I can't remember the name of the movie. And he goes into this woman's house and pretends to be her, and he's got all this fake stuff on, and he gets up, and it's like one boob is around his back, and the other one's over his shoulder, and the niece comes in, and she's like going, ooh, and she's like pointing, and she's like, oh, honey, when you get to be my age, they're like a couple of yard dogs. If you don't keep them fenced in, they just roam all over the place.
Well, now I have the Real American Heroes ad for you.
Oh, hit it.
Yeah, you're going to love this. I have to play this every now and then. It's one of the best giggles I got.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today we salute you, Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
More than any neon sign or exploding scoreboard ever could, your chrome dome cover says, hey guys, look at me.
What could you be thinking?
You think it looks natural, but it couldn't look phonier if it had a chin strap. Made of space-age fibers, it can repel anything. Rain, wind, snow, and especially young women.
So crack open an
ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Stud in a Rug. Then crack open another for that thing on your head.
I don't think it's all straight.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's the choir that murders me in that carol.
You know, there's just something just so Jesus-y about that.
I don't think it's on straight.
I'm sorry if I clamped.
Oh. It's the season, isn't it?
Big Mama's house. Thank you, Ron, from the ever not so frozen north.
That was it.
Yes.
Meanwhile, and I've got some echo coming back at me. I don't know why.
I'm on the wrong iPad.
Joel! Damn it.
You conjured me on the wrong unit here.
I gotta work on that. Deacon Gerald. Holy shit, Ernest Angley's 94 years old.
And still hustling.
Evil is a preservative. By the way, Gerald and I were exchanging a couple of remarks. He's still threatening me with my pink camo all I know is mine and coal T-shirt for Christmas. I guess that in lieu of coal itself, I suppose, because my neighbor's burning all of that. I pointed out to him, yes, indeed, it was a banner day traveling around southern West Virginia. In addition to the two ass cats I saw with their stick, pro-life, and peeing on Obama, and Obama hates coal. There was also the guy in the busted up pickup truck driving around with not one, but two Confederate flags. Nothing says Christmas like a Confederate flag, Carol Baker.
I haven't seen the guy on 291 lately that loves to, he'll fly down 291 doing 65 miles an hour in a 45 with his Confederate flags, and he's cutting people off in traffic, and the police don't bother.
Because it's heritage, not hate.
No, because they probably know he's armed.
Well, there's that. By the way, Ron tells us, I've flown with that asshole, namely, not the guy with the flags, but Ernest Angley. A flight from Ohio to New York, I counted at least three double scotch orders and a couple of leers at the flight attendant. He kept trying to talk to people around him, and everyone just kept ignoring him. Oh.
Say baby.
Baby. And see, understand, we are not mocking the hearing impaired here. You gotta see this to, well.
And I've looked all over, like, YouTube and things for video. I can't find any.
You're kidding.
No, and you'd think that would have been one of those archival things that somebody would have really glommed onto, but I found people mocking him, but I've never found a video of him actually doing it.
Let's see, here's the show open, 1981. What do we got?
I believe the miracle power of Almighty God is for everyone today. I was visited by God when I was 7 years of age, carried away by His Spirit, carried into the stars of heaven. There were stars everywhere, millions and millions of stars, and no way to number them. God said the stars were the souls that I would win for Him. With this heavenly vision from God, I bring to you His message of love, faith, and hope, salvation and healing for all mankind throughout the whole earth.
I don't think it's on straight.
That's some restaurant quality snake oil, son.
You know what? The gone are the days. That was the golden age of the religious hustle.
But now you know why, you know, the baker litter would gather around the TV to make fun of it.
How could you not?
The opening is a gift.
With the angelic chorus and the lights coming up slowly behind him to reveal a whole bunch of Ionic, I think. I can't keep my columns straight. Doric, Ionic, and Corinthian. This is the one with all the eucalyptus leaves on top.
Oh.
And all the stars were the souls that I would save.
It's how he has to end every word.
Oh, God almighty. But I just wanted to...
a Christmas present, Bob. Thanks.
Merry Hoppy Days.
It's just too good. It's just too good. Youngsters, wherever you are out there, find these videos. They're so fabulous.
But you're right. I was just looking down the list. There were no healing segments. What has happened? I don't know. Have the Angley Ministries filed
a copyright?
Yeah, like a Millennium Digital Copyright Act or whatever.
No, I think I got smatted because I really wanted it.
Struck down.
Struck down by the Lord. Thank you, Gerald. Oh, 7:29 p.m. Mary Hitler. I owed you one, Gerald.
Ooh, that was just a giveaway.
What do you want? He paid me.
It's Christmas. Yes, I understand. So that would be 8:29 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't confuse people.
Oh, sorry.
You're out there in that heathen. You're out there in that heathen Central Time Zone next to the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club.
I'm in the Jesus Time Zone.
And you're also in the Tornado Time Zone too.
As usual.
I'm not making fun of that stuff, but my God.
I just, when they say, I'm here and I've got my hand on the actual Bible because we're under a tornado watch and I want the Lord to protect. Why do you want the Lord to protect you from something he clearly sent you, you ungrateful son of a bitch?
Maybe you needed to wipe out some heathens. And his aim's just not so good, and he takes a few Christians, too.
God, I hate it when that happens.
But I mean, it's horrible. There have been deaths reported in Holly Springs, Mississippi.
I know.
And yes, let me check. Yeah, it's 68 degrees here in the Fabulous Horn Studio.
It was almost that here today, and then the temperature dropped like 20 degrees in half an hour.
Okay, so that'll be coming along later. I'm looking at my little happy little weather app here. High tomorrow, 64. High Friday, 64. High Saturday, 73. And thunderstorms, 70 and thunderstorms Sunday. Wow, so like maybe New Year's Day, the high is 41.
Yeah, they dropped us down to 53 for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And then right after that, it's down into the 40s until New Year's. All the way down into the 40s. Oh, can I stand it?
Sooner or later, I'll be buying propane.
Said the girl who lived in Iowa, Chicago, and New York.
Well, it's just kind of weird sweating in December.
It's not weird, it's just wrong. It's man-made. It's this isn't normal. I mean, my electric bill is already on track to be less than half of what it was last year, which was already less than half of what it was the year before.
Well, see, this is probably more that Kenyan Muslim socialism trying to kill the coal industry.
Kenyan Muslim mind meld.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. See how it works?
You know, it's a wonder those Christians are still alive with all that power he has.
Oh, and with your gift. Gerald says, remind me to go to the liquor store tomorrow.
Well, I'm a giver.
Absolutely, it's going to be a merry Christmas at the Gerald household, and no plea agreement.
He's taking all of his Hitler money and going down and getting liquored up.
Damn straight. That's Virginia gentleman or nothing. Well, I tell you what, if we don't talk again before Christmas, I sure hope you and Mr. Carroll have a lovely day of it.
He's coming over tomorrow and we're spending the day and having our Christmas. So, and then he can go back to his ungrateful children and grandchildren and go do whatever it is he does.
It sounds like fun to me.
It is. I'm more than happy to be by myself. I'm truly. I'll probably spend half the day on Christmas Day talking to Barbie anyway. Who says hey, by the way?
Hey to Barbie.
Hey to Barbie. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I am very much looking forward to Ferg doing the annual reading. I'm hoping I get a little Morgan Freeman in there, just, you know, because the old lady gets a kick out of it.
Okay, so I'll mention that. And, you know, for Christmas, I'm going to set up the rerun stream. What I was thinking about doing is downloading all the pre-Christmas shows that have all the readings in it.
Oh, that would be so cool, like for 10 years?
Yeah, just running them in a loop from Christmas Day to, say, you know, More and Monday.
That rocks!
I mean, it goes all the way back to, you know, little bitty Kincaid children. When they were little bitty.
Cracking voice for.
Oh, he's in there, and what's more, I mean it's kind of hard to reckon, but the Christmas season is always a little double plus good extra special, because Christmas is Christmas, and then Ferg's birthday is the day after.
Ooh, that is nice.
Well, for everybody but him, I guess.
Does he get the combined birthday Christmas gift?
Well, we don't, but he always feels like that we've just kind of squirreled one back from Christmas and said, hey, here's your birthday, kid.
My nephew was born on Christmas Eve. He feels the same way. I remember one year I gave him like 10 things for Christmas and probably 5 things for his birthday. He got all done and he goes, that's it?
No.
I did not take it well.
No. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, he even brings his guitar back and plays sometimes, or his keyboard even, for the Christmas program. And I'm considering this to be a step up, Carol. You can tell me if I'm wrong. But he's gone from "Dad, I want a banjo," up with which I would not put, because you know the difference between a banjo and an onion, right? Nobody cries when you cut up a banjo. So he's gone from that. And then for a while it was, Dad, I want some bagpipes. And that so really was never going to happen.
And now?
Dad, I want a violin.
It's great when they're good at it. It's the getting there.
Oh, it's the getting there. It's the getting there. Because I mean, and I mean no insult to our animal loving members of the Horn family, yourself included, myself included, and I hope Cat Stevens is out of earshot. Mooshu is.
He's up on the towel rack and laying in the clean towels because he's mad at me.
Of course. Wonder what you've done now.
Made him come in the house.
You just don't understand. The life of a tomcat.
If he's not a tomcat, I snipped him when he was little.
Oh. Well, then he's got double reason.
But he was asleep. I told him he had a tooth pulled. He believed it. No, it's that if I let him out, he goes out and he lays out on the deck and sleeps on the porch. I like it for him to sleep in the house after dark. We have owls and things.
True. Well, what I was going to say is that the problem with learning a violin is that it sounds like a cat killing.
Yeah. Or have you ever heard a rabbit die?
Happily, no.
It's not good. My friend's dog got a hold of a rabbit one night, and the sounds that they make are like a small child. I couldn't take it.
No, me neither. I mean,
it's worse than lambs.
Listen, I'm such a soft, tender-hearted soul that I was invited to a crab boil one time.
Oh, that doesn't bother me at all.
And the screaming of the crabs.
That doesn't bother me at all.
Which is just actually steam escaping their carapaces, but still.
It's just too tasty not to just put up with it.
I mean, I have these nightmares. Can you still hear the crabs, Clarice? You know.
It did freak me out the first time. They were clack, 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 clacking there.
Gerald says, my birthday was Monday. Tell Ferg I can relate.
Oh.
And I'm in bad trouble with Ron. So watch it with the banjo jokes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, perhaps Ferg is that 1 in 100 that might turn into a good player.
Okay, but I live in Hooterville, the land of Larry Darrell and his other brother Darrell, and I hear banjo music and I get a little freaked out.
Why is that the benchmark sound?
Because I can hear the dulcet strains coming from across the lake.
Ding, 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 ding.
When the sign as you enter is, I hear banjos paddle faster, you'd get freaked out too.
Well, we've got that t-shirt for sale at all the rafting outfits around here. Paddle faster, I hear banjos.
That's right.
And one of the best parody songs I ever heard was done to the tune of Tom Petty's The Waiting. In which the person singing the parody sang, Ned Beatty had the hardest part.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I know. Well, Carol, I do hope you have a lovely, lovely Christmas, and as well as Cat Stevens and Mr. Carol and
Baby Tess.
And Ms. Barbie and the whole fabulous Baker gang.
Well, we thank you so much, and we'll be listening in tomorrow night for the annual reading, and we'll just be hanging in there. It's one of our favorite shows of the year.
Well, I kind of look forward to it too. That and Malloy's playing of Oh Holy Nightmare.
Oh God, how did I miss that one?
If you've never, just look it up. You can find it on the interweb tubes. The funniest damn thing you've ever heard in your life.
I'll do it. All right, doll. We'll see you later.
All right, later then.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, the happy holidays to you too.
Bye.
See ya. The one and only Carol Baker. And from Carol Baker to Robert in Morgantown. Hey, Robert.
Good evening, Bob. Hold on just a second. I got a mute. There we go.
Okay.
Okay, you put me up after Carol. Do you know what that's like? Babe Ruth.
It's six of one, half a dozen of another. being lead off or follow up, you know.
Because she's great. She's hard to top. 2 days before Christmas, got a little present today. I don't know if you caught it, but Amanda Paston has quit as House of Delegates.
No.
Yeah, I sent you. You must not got my Skype on that. Yeah, she quit today. Apparently for some kind of family personal reasons.
She's got to spend more time with her family. That means there's an indictment forthcoming.
You think so? Well, we'll find out soon. If anybody out there wants to replace her, hey, it's only $100 to file for House Delegates. You have till January 30th.
Is that the deadline, the 30th?
The 30th. I stopped at the courthouse over in Taylor County a couple of days ago to inquire. The filing fee is $100, and the deadline is January 30th, 2016. Is that a Friday?
That's a Saturday.
Okay.
I was just checking.
That's why I told her. I said, well, to be sure, then you probably better file by Friday, which would be the 29th. Anyway, the legislature will be back in session here in less than a month, so.
Yeah, what is the what's the opening date?
I'm not sure. I believe it's probably right around the 15th. That's what I've heard. It's the middle of January. I mean, Paston was a rising star for the Republicans. She had a bit about her, I think it was in the Washington Times or some kind of newspaper or magazine. She's only 35 years old. So, I don't know. Maybe she's quitting the race family. Who knows? I also sent you a thing the other day where I have it that they're going.
Yeah, Robert?
Yeah.
You're breaking up some.
Yeah, they're
Robert, you're kind of breaking up all the pieces there.
Yeah. Okay.
Huh, that's and I'm showing bad signal. I don't know if that's me or you. Very strange indeed. Hey, well, we'll maybe we can try to reconnect, because this is really not working. I hope you're hearing me.
So
maybe try to turn around and reconnect, okay? All right, stand by. I hate it when that happens. No, Ron. Those banjos are all in your mind. Ron says, I hear banjos. Yeah. But you can. At all the rafting places around here, you can buy Paddle Faster, I Hear Banjos. Don't feel real good about that. You know, you got the tourists coming in here because, well, the implication. Now, we've all seen Deliverance. We know. Okay, maybe this works a little better this time, Robert.
All right, can you hear me now?
Gotcha.
All right. Yeah, what I was talking about was some of the things they seem to have planned for this session of the legislature.
Right to work.
Yeah, right to work. More on the gun carrying business. I saw today Virginia has stripped some of the states that they are mutually doing the gun carry with. They have stripped a bunch of them out. West Virginia's not among them, but they said that the other states did not have as strict measures as they did in Virginia, and they weren't going to honor permits from those states anymore.
Well, I'm absolutely, and I don't use this term casually or idly, Robert. I'm absolutely terrified of the notion of people being able to just carry, because this is what the NRA has declared for West Virginia, and this is what the Republican majority in the House wants to have their fight over.
Oh, me too. I find it very
I'm terrified frightening. Of the notion because they want to make it legal to simply carry a concealed weapon, period. No permit, no hunter safety class, no training, no testing, no nothing.
Yeah,
and how's that gonna work out well for anybody, Robert?
Well, it's not. I just picked up a story on Facebook a little while ago about someone who had accidentally, trying to defend himself, had shot someone across the street with their weapon, rather than the person they intended. So you'll have more of that, of course. But they're also looking into this right to work business, which we both know is nothing but a way to break the unions up, lower people's wages.
Yeah, and when we say break the unions up, we should probably put a caveat on that. Break what's left of the unions up.
Well, yes, indeed. They pretty well have just about killed them the way things are right now. And I have from one of the horse's mouth, it wasn't directed at me, but I picked it up on Facebook, that they are thinking about looking at a Religious Freedom Act for the state of West Virginia. Which God knows.
Because, you know, God knows we don't have religious freedom here. There's only a church. There's only a church every 15 feet in this state.
Yeah. So, like I say, I was very happy to see at least we're down one Republican now. My understanding, the governor's going to have to get someone to replace her, and I guess he's going to have 1 week to do it.
Legally, does he have to replace her with a Republican?
That's what I'm wondering, whether he has to or not. I don't figure he does, but I figure he'll pretty much be forced to, because, you know, there'd be plenty of hell raised if he replaces her with a Democrat, don't you think?
No, without a doubt. And, of course, what one hand taketh away, another hand giveth. So they're gonna give us the right to for anybody who can muster up enough money to buy some sort of miserable cheap firearm to just kind of stuff it in his or her waistband, or your freedom protecting bra, your freedom protecting purse, or whatever. So they're gonna do that. And this time they'll get it through, because the only reason it didn't work last time, Robert, as you recall, is because they ran out of time after the governor vetoed it.
Well, yeah, and now the ones that were there new have had a year, they've had their year experience. They're ready to roll this time.
And so here's the other side of the coin. Next year, because the Department of Health and Human Resources has decided to be proactive, somewhere around 47,700 West Virginians stand to lose their food stamp benefits. So they're going to need that goddamn gun so they can go out and kill dinner.
Well,
darn it, here it is. It's happening again. You're breaking up again. And I don't know
I'm
if it's me or you.
Yeah.
But you're back for a moment, at least. Starting next year, they're reinstating work and job training requirements for recipients of SNAP, food stamp benefits, in Kanawha, Putnam, Cabell, Monongalia, Berkeley, Harrison, Morgan, Jefferson, and Marion counties.
Oh, okay. I got a letter on that, yes. Because I'm one of those people who get food stamps. I'm exempt from it because I'm over 50 years old. But, yeah, they're putting in 20 hours a week, right?
Yep.
Either you have to be at work or in training 20 hours a week.
Now, what happens, and I'm just asking here, what happens, how does this play out? So let's say you're a mama and daddy ain't around, and you're trying to raise three or four young'uns.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any child care.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any money to pay for child care.
Mm-hmm.
And so 20 hours a week, you're going to be in job training. And who's going to look after the kids?
Well, now you want me to answer that as a Republican? Because I can tell you what they say.
Okay.
Ain't you got any family that can take care of your kids? And you'll hear from the Republicans. It's the law, and you're just going to have to cope with it. But, yeah, what do you do when there aren't many jobs?
Well, among other things, Ted Bettner, who runs the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, said someone who works 18 hours a week and is looking for full-time work will lose benefits under this change. To voluntarily impose a time limit in these counties doesn't make sense given the region's weak economic position. Because, see, the DHHR is doing this. There's no law been passed.
Well, and
by the way, this is... been tried in Maine and Indiana, and tens of thousands of food stamp recipients lost their benefits. When we tried this in West Virginia in 2011, 30% of SNAP recipients didn't comply. That would be 14,000 people in the nine counties.
Mm.
And here's a number. More than 80% of SNAP recipients make less than $6,000 per year. But they're just eating too much damn food. Oh, and by the way, I guess this passes for journalism. I mentioned Ted Bettner a minute ago, and this article from the Gazette identifies him as Ted Bettner, executive director of the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, a left-leaning think tank. What's the point of that? Is anybody editing these stories? What qualifies as left-leaning, Robert? Wanting people to be able to eat food?
I did. Is there not a part
of it? Well, unfortunately, Robert, you've broken up again. I'm terribly, terribly sorry, but we're kind of running out of time anyway. It was good to hear from you.
Okay. Well, if you can hear this last little bit, Sean Hannity had Congressman McKinley on the last hour today.
Oh, dear God.
So if anybody wants to hear it, you can pull that up on TuneIn if you find a station. The last hour today, he wasn't there, but the two people sitting in for him handled Mr. McKinley. Okay, I'll leave you with that, Bob.
Yeah, and what a genius McKinley is. Robert, have a happy holiday.
All right, you too.
All right. Bye now. Robert, calling from the greater Morgantown area. Ron in the squishy north says, newsflash, Fox on 5 has now come out firmly against drones after a camera drone crashed near a World Cup skier. Drones should be regulated because they're dangerous, and anyone who buys one should have to get a license and prove their competence. Ron says, perhaps I'm the only one to note the difference between this stance and their unbridled support for the Second Amendment. The goddess of irony must be asleep. No. That means she's on the job. You can't have word noises come burbling out of your mouth like that, Ron, unless the goddess of irony is just standing on your shoulder pinching your ear. Oh, no. No. And let's see. Thank you, Jude, and very, very happy holidays to you as well. Kind holiday wishes coming to the Horn Family Commune Congregation from our dear friend Jude. Oh, my God. Courtesy of Carol Baker, the official Ted Cruz fundraising letter in which he reprints the editorial cartoon that so offended him. I'm fighting for your family. Will you fight for mine? Subject line, they attacked my children. I wish I had more time to explain, but you can read more in the email below. You see, there's something that rises up inside a man when his children are attacked. Something fierce and unstoppable. God damn, Ted, what are you going to do? Go shoot up a movie theater? You're going to shoot up the Washington Post? Donna if this is the same unstoppable force that makes me more determined than ever to fight for you, your family, and the American families everywhere. Can I count on you to stand with me? Last night when my children came under attack, I turned to you for help, and so many of you responded. I must say that Heidi and I are eternally grateful. His wife's name's Heidi, really. But if you haven't had a chance to respond to my email below, I'm asking you to stop what you're doing immediately and personally respond. Will you click here right now and make a protest contribution telling the Washington Post, who has yet to apologize, and the rest of the disgraceful liberal media that my children, your children, and all the children in America are not props for their political attacks? Please, I hope to hear back from you today, immediately if possible, before the leftist media tries to bury this story for all American fathers. Ted Cruz! What's that? Children under attack? Hint. Them ain't Democrats hollering for all the useless eaters to be thrown off of their food stamp benefits. Just saying. And thank you very kindly, one and all, to everybody who contributed this evening. The challenge that was on the table has been met. Thank you to Gerald and Reinhard and Louie and Philip. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you to Robert in Australia. Thanks very much indeed. So tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and we'll be back at it. We'll have our annual Christmas program type thing. We'll do our reading from the King James Version, courtesy of Ferg. And I'll make sure to mention to him that there has been a request for this year's reading to be done at least partially in the voice of Morgan Freeman. I don't know, maybe Ferg and I'll work together. He'll do Morgan Freeman and I'll do James Earl Jones. That's what happens when you're a family of deep-voiced guy people. This is CNN. See, I can do it. I personally, though, am fond of the... Have you seen them? The Darth Vader condoms that are out there? The package shows a picture of Vader's face and under... Luke. No, it doesn't say Luke. It says, I am not your father. Clever, I thought. So join in tomorrow, and if you've got last-minute Christmas Eve stuff to do, I hope you can do it with a smile on your face. And I hope we just all get through the holidays happily. Indeed.
God bless us, everyone.
Right. Thanks to all of you who make this community what it is, who keep this community going, and who, well, provide the information, the input, the conversation that makes this unlike any other thing I've ever experienced. Thank you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, moderators in the chat room, capably temporarily assisted this evening by temporary moderator Tim from L.A. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Happy Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve on the other side of the international dateline. Thank you, Ben Birch, and thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Ho, ho, ho. Catch you tomorrow night.
She's nothing that's a sensation after 25 years.